Buenos días. Ahora estamos en Hechos, capítulo 3, en la vida de Pedro. Good morning. We are in Acts chapter 3, on the life of Peter. And we see here in chapter 3, and we're going to see in the next chapters, Peter and John. Peter and John, you're going to hear a lot of these two. We know our Lord paired the apostles, so these two work together closely. But we're going to be focusing on Peter from this side. Vamos a ver aquí en los siguientes capítulos a Pedro y Juan. Sabemos cómo nuestro Señor Jesús los asignó en pares para que fueran a trabajar. Pero aquí nos vamos a enfocar sobre Pedro aquí. Vemos en el primer verso del capítulo 3 cómo Pedro y Juan iban rumbo al templo. So we see there in the first verse of chapter 3 how Peter and John they were going towards the temple. The way that I see it now, Peter, I see this as a new Peter. Very different than Peter that we saw in the Gospels. We saw him in chapter 2 speaking, but now we will see a very firm Peter, a rock, a stone, making honor to the name that our Lord gave him. En donde ahora sí vamos a poder empezar a ver a Pedro como un Pedro ya, un nuevo Pedro, un Pedro más sólido, un Pedro diferente, que ahora sí le hace honor al nombre que nuestro Señor le ha dado, de una roca, una piedra, en donde ahora sí él es más sólido. Entonces aquí vemos a Pedro y Juan rumbo al templo y había alguien que les pedía dinero y en el verso 6 podemos ver la respuesta. So we see here somebody who asking money from Peter and John, and we see verse 5, the response that said, Peter, can you read verse 6, anybody read? Alguien lea por favor el verso 6.
Capítulo 3.
Yes.
Pero Pedro dijo, no tengo plata ni oro, mas lo que tengo te doy. En el nombre de Jesucristo el Nazareno, anda.
Okay, and we see here a great blessing that he gives to this individual. And Peter later uses that phrase of silver and gold later in 1 Peter, you will see that. But he's now referring to how we have been purchased by something extremely great, that is the blood of Christ. Donde vemos aquí algo que, una respuesta de Pedro, algo muy bello, en donde hacen algo muy bueno para esta persona que puede caminar. Y después podemos ver cómo utiliza esto en sus escrituras, Pedro, diciendo sobre oro y plata, pero hablando principalmente cómo nosotros somos salvos por la sangre de Cristo, que es mucho mejor que el oro y la plata. When I used to teach this class in Michigan to little kids, they were, I don't remember how old they were, 6-year-old kids, I was teaching Acts and I was asking them to act a little bit this, and especially verse 8, for them to really understand verse 8, the joy of something miraculous like this to happen. Cuando le estaba enseñando en Michigan esta clase a niños, eran como de 6 años creo, y les decía que cómo actuaran en la clase de Hechos y dijeran lo que se decían en la Biblia y hicieran lo que hicieran, el verso 8 era increíble porque muestra el gozo de lo que pasa a esta persona, el andar brincando de gozo después de poder ser salvo de este milagro. I was asking the kids to speak whatever the apostles were speaking, but then also like this was awesome, like somebody who received this beautiful miracle and then be able to not just to stand up or to walk, like he start like lip, like someone read that 8, verse 8. Alguien lea el verso 8.
And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entering the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God.
So, you need to try to imagine this. Necesitas tratar de imaginarte esto. En alguien que está caminando, está como brincando y está alabando a Dios. So, it's completamente gozo. Somebody who is kind of like walking and really leaping, almost jumping and praising God, like the excitement. So how much attention would that draw to somebody? Like, and he was not trying to do it for attention. It was joy. Pero ¿qué tanta atención puede traer esto que está pasando en alguien? Y es gozo. Él no estaba tratando de jalar atención de algo. So we see everybody around there, right? We see all the people that they were around there, that they recognized this person, and they were filled with wonder and amazing at what had happened to them. Podemos ver cómo lo ven, lo reconocen, y estaban llenos de estaban maravillados de todo lo que había pasado a él. But then, verse 11, he clung to Peter and John, so he was still with them. El verso 11, está todavía ahí con Pedro y Juan, se queda ahí. ¿Y qué pasa? So all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them. Say, what's going on here? This is amazing. En donde podemos ver aquí esto, dice, toda la gente corría hacia ellos. So, it is an amazing thing. A lot of the times, I love these chapters, by the way, 3 and 4. A lot of the times people will just focus on, oh, Peter's sermon, chapter 2. These are really beautiful things. Y me encantan a mí estos capítulos del 3 y 4. Muchas veces la gente se emociona mucho el capítulo 2, pero estos 3 y 4 son cosas hermosas. So, and we're going to read a lot. I'm going to be asking you guys to read now from 12 through the end, through 26. Vamos a leer mucho. Alguien, por favor, lea del 12 al 26, por favor.
And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us? As though by our own power or piety we have made them walk. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness.
There's a lot here. Hay mucho, mucho aquí. So, talk to me. What jumps out to you here? We can see a new Peter now, and he just had a similar situation before, right? He just did a beautiful sermon in chapter 2, and he saw people repenting and having a good reaction about that. So he's in a role now here. Now here, there's a beautiful miracle. He sees that there's a lot of attention to them right now, so there's a perfect opportunity for him to do what our Lord asked him to do, to preach and to spread the good news. And he does that again in a beautiful thing. So tell me about the message. Entonces podemos ver aquí, díganme de lo que pasa aquí, porque podemos ver aquí como Pedro ya tenía experiencia en lo que vimos en el capítulo 2, en donde dio un buen discurso y hubo una buena recepción de ese discurso. Y ahora aquí hay una muy buena oportunidad para que él pueda predicar, porque la gente está poniendo atención a él después de este milagro, que la gente ve que hay poder, que hay autoridad, y da un hermoso predicación de nuevo. Entonces, díganme de esto. So tell me about this then. What jumps out to you from this beautiful message? ¿Qué es importante aquí en este mensaje?
I mean, it's an admonishment and a history lesson all in one in reference to this gentleman that Peter healed. So he's connecting both history and admonishment to this one individual that he just healed.
Utiliza esta oportunidad de esta persona que acaba de sanar y conecta historia y conecta el darles una lección a ellos para que aprendan sobre esta historia y conecta lo que ha pasado también sobre Jesús. What else? Or what would you can tell me some of the components or some of the pieces that are important for you? O díganme algunas partes que sean importantes para ustedes. The first thing is beautiful. He gives the glory to God. Like, that is awesome. Like, humility and giving the glory to God. Lo primero es increíble. La humildad, darle la gloria a Dios desde el inicio. Eso es increíble. What else?
I mean, he's speaking to the Jews, so he's referencing the Jews. I mean, he's referencing Father Abraham, and he's referencing those. So going back.
Hablando a los judíos, diciendo la referencia sobre el padre Abraham y para que tuvieran una algo común.
So he's referencing them to connect with them, and then tying that into the prophets as well that were given to the Jews that were prophesying about Jesus as well. So he is tying back to what the Jews would already have known. They would have already known about Father Abraham and his sons. And then tying it as well to the prophets that were sent to the people as well.
Entonces, como está hablando aquí con los judíos, en donde les está liga todo esto con Cristo y con los profetas, que ellos deberían de ya conocer a estos profetas y conocer estas profecías, en donde liga todo esto y lo utiliza como una oportunidad para hablar sobre Jesús. Right away, he just hit them hard about Jesus. That's a beautiful thing. So he didn't do like a really long speech. Maybe there will be in the next chapter other examples where there's really a lot of a story before you get to Jesus. En donde hay otros que en capítulos después que dan una historia muy larga antes de llegar a Jesús. Aquí Pedro luego brinca y habla de Jesús. So he right to the point, he gets and talks about Jesus right away. He's not shy here. Él aquí no tiene miedo, no tiene temor.
I think it's ironic that Peter is like admonishing him after it took him so long with Jesus to get all these things.
Yeah.
He's like, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? And like, he was the same way, kind of.
Yeah. Y me dice que es increíble cómo Pedro era igual que ellos. ¿Cómo puede ser posible que le dice, pero cómo, por qué están ustedes batallando en entender esto cuando Pedro batalló mucho para comprender todo esto? Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah.
I mean, he made it clear who did this. Like, he made it very clear. Verse 13 is really, I find very interesting, the latter part, when he ties it over. Whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. So going back to even Pilate, and Pilate tried to release Jesus, but yet Peter is very specific in acknowledging that y'all did this. You guys are the ones that really chose to do this.
Donde dice como el verso 3 es increíble, como él les dice que están que ellos son culpables, en donde Pilato ya lo había decidido de dejarlo ir, pero ellos son culpables, ellos son los que hicieron esto. Entonces eso es muy bueno el mensaje que da ahí. Yeah, because they cried out, they crucify him, let his blood be on us. Porque ellos gritaban, crucifícale, que sea su sangre en nosotros. So they deny, and how in different places the references that he does about Jesus. And he's talking to him about the Christ who would suffer. He's talking to him, and that one we saw there later, but then also in verse 14, how he is the holy and righteous one. So different phrases that now he completely understands who Jesus is. Entonces, diferentes frases también que están ahí, el Cristo que iba a sufrir, y como también ahí en el también que vimos en el verso 14, que él es el santo de Dios. Que, so he did a struggle to understand that Jesus was needed to suffer. He almost, please don't do that. And Jesus like rebuked him. No, I need to do that. Walk away from me, Satan. Mm-hmm. Él batalló para entender eso, que Cristo era, él era el Cristo que iba a sufrir. Porque incluso que trató de detener a Jesús, y Jesús le dijo, no, apártate de mí, Satanás. Anything else that, of course, he goes to Moses right away, to talking about the prophet. So he understood he's not just the Christ, the Messiah, the one who is going to suffer, he's also that prophet to come. En donde lo liga también con el profeta que había dicho Moisés que iba a venir, no nada más que era el Mesías, el Cristo, el ungido, pero también que el profeta que es del cual había hablado Moisés. What about verse 25? ¿Qué tal sobre el verso 25? So this new Peter, he understands still almost everything, but in the next chapters we will see how he quite doesn't understand everything, even what he's saying here in verse 25. Es increíble cómo este nuevo Pedro entiende casi todo ya ahorita, pero después vamos a ver en siguientes capítulos cómo todavía no entendía completamente todo, incluyendo cosas que están aquí en el verso 25. About the blessing that was going to come to the Gentiles. That all the families on the earth, the whole earth, that they were going to be blessed by Jesus. He was saying it here, just like the Jews will quote a lot of these passages, but they will not understand it. Entonces lo estaba diciendo aquí, así como los judíos decían muchos de estos versículos, pero no los entendían todavía. So, talking about his servant, hablando de su siervo, did Peter had an opportunity to see Jesus as a servant, like verse 16, 26, sorry, el verso 26, de hablando de su siervo, ¿tuvo acaso Pedro oportunidad de ver a Jesús como siervo? He saw him over and over, exhausted, being a servant, doing the will of the Father. Haciendo la voluntad del Padre, lo vio una y otra vez, estando cansado, siendo el siervo. So, he's telling them to repent in different ways, and to they need to be turned away from their wickedness, from their sin. Les dice que se arrepientan. Tienen que separarse del pecado, o sea, dejar toda la maldad y todo el pecado. Any other comments about this beautiful chapter 3? ¿Algún otro comentario de este hermoso capítulo 3? Now, all of this is just after the death of Christ and the resurrection. Beautiful things. And he made, over here, Pilate is mentioned over here at the end of chapter 3. Peter understood the Psalms very well. He quotes a lot of Psalms very well. I want you guys to go to Psalm 2. Vamos a Salmos 2. Pedro conocía muy bien los Salmos. Aquí está mencionado Pilato en el capítulo 3. Y es todo esto que estamos aquí al inicio de Hechos. Es después de la muerte de Jesús, después de la resurrección. Pero Pedro conocía muy bien los Salmos. Y aquí hablaba de Pilato. Y este salmo hermoso, este salmo 2, que es un salmo que yo recomiendo que estudien cuando hagan su estudio a fondo de la muerte del Señor Jesús y la crucifixión. So this psalm is a psalm that I definitely need one you guys every time when you do the time of the year and you do your deep study towards that the death of Christ, to study this one in conjunction with Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. Este es un salmo que en conjunto con Isaías 53 y Salmo 22 les recomiendo que lo lean. Somebody read the first three verses. Alguien lea los primeros tres versos del Salmo 2.
¿Por qué se sublevan las naciones y los pueblos traman cosas vanas? Se levantan los reyes de la tierra y los gobernantes traman unidos contra el Señor y contra su ungido, diciendo: rompamos sus cadenas y echemos de nosotros sus cuerdas.
So, this Psalm 2, when you study Psalm 2, and there's a beautiful podcast also by Tommy Taylor, you see how it's clear when you see the continued reading of Psalm 2 that this is not about David, that this is about Jesus. Cuando estudian Salmo 2, es claro que el poder ver en continuación en donde todo esto sobre Jesús, y hay un podcast muy, muy hermoso que tiene este Tommy Piller sobre este Salmo 2. And all this first beginning part, it could be at any time, whenever we think about nations, that sometimes you have all these leaders, arrogance and pride and boastful, and Satan, and how they will want to do, they think that they have all the power. When I try to look at this Psalm 2, I try to think about what will happen if all the nations of the whole world will try to gather together and get their nuclear arsenals and with Satan, and they will try to go against God. Like, so that is like, unfortunately, how dumb we are as people, and the definition of really how vanity of vanity, and how people are arrogant and prideful. Es increíble cómo la gente somos tontos y somos muy arrogantes y pensamos que podemos todo hacer todo, y en este caso la gente en contra de Dios. But then verse 4 puts everything in perspective. El verso 4 pone todo en perspectiva. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. What could this whole, all the nations with their arsenals, with their nuclear bombs and with Satan, what can they do against God? ¿Qué pueden hacer todas estas naciones, todas estas armas nucleares y toda la gente? ¿Qué pueden hacer contra Dios? No pueden hacer nada. Dios ve eso y se ríe de eso, se reiría de eso. Es una tontería. The book of Revelations is about judgment. And we can see later here, there's a later section at the end also here when it talks about Jesus, and with even in Psalm 2 that is mentioned here, you can see here that how he's gonna this Lord, how he has the scepter. You can see that here in Psalm 2. This verse 9, you shall break them with a rod of iron. Later you can see that in Revelations. You can see that in Revelations 19. But I want you guys, let's go to Revelation 16. 13-17. Vamos a Apocalipsis 16, 13-17. Pero eso, en Apocalipsis 19 podemos ver completamente Jesús, en donde es este que tiene este el verso 15 del capítulo 19, que habla, dice cómo él va a tener este rod of iron, este cetro para triunfar. So we see that we see it in Revelations 19:15, talks about that rod of iron that he has. But we're going to be focused right now on chapter 16. But when I think of Psalm 2 and all the nations raging and going towards God, it makes me think of Revelation 16. I like how Gary Fisher, when he describes Revelation, how he talks about how chapter 16 is kind of like a chapter that is kind of like the end, and then we have the next chapters that are like, they go back in time. They help you to understand some of the things before that, but really chapter 16 is like a combination of things. Me gusta el ver el podcast ese que tiene cómo explica Gary Fischer, como el capítulo 16 es prácticamente el final de Apocalipsis. Y los siguientes capítulos como que se regresan un poco en la historia de lo que se ve ahí. But chapter 16, somebody read please 13 and 14. Alguien por favor lea el 13 y 14 de Apocalipsis 16.
And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits, like frogs, for they are demonic spirits performing signs, who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for the battle on the great day of God the Almighty.
So we see here how ridiculous it is when Satan and all the nations try to be against God. It is like these three little frogs. This is spirit like three little frogs coming out to fight against God. This is like that. This is the Armageddon. You see that verse 16. Este es el Armageddon. El verso 16. You have this coming. It's like these little three frogs coming against God. What does God need to do? ¿Qué necesita hacer Dios? We see the response in verse 17. It is just through His word. It is just through speaking. He just speaks and it is done. That's the battle. He just speaks. Nothing else. Chapter 19 describes it more towards like that Jesus with that mighty lamp, and then he with the word of his mouth, like how the mouth is like the sharp sword. So it's another description there that he has in chapter 19. But he just speaks, and it is done. These huge powers, they don't have power against God. Estos grandes poderes no tienen poder contra Dios. El capítulo 19 de Apocalipsis lo describe, como Jesús, en más detalle, describe a Jesús, pero también de su boca con esta espada que tiene doble filo. Él solamente necesita hablar y ya se acabó la batalla. So, when we see here the verse 4 of Psalm 2, cuando vemos el verso 4 de Salmo 2, He who sits in the heaven laughs, the Lord holds him in derision. El que está sentado ahí en los cielos se ríe de eso. Es ¿cómo puede ser posible que estos vienen a batallar en contra de Dios? Now, Psalm 2, let's go back to Psalm 2. Psalm 2 is specifically talking about these dark times when they crucified our Lord. When the nations got together and they tried with Satan to go against him and against God. That's what Psalm 2 is about. This beginning of Psalm 2 is about. Don't get confused with verse 4 thinking that God, when it talks about that he laughs because this is what they are doing is ridiculous because they're not certain. It is Jesus suffered, and God the Father, like, this was something that I can imagine, like, if you could try to see the wrath of God in that moment, it's like, this was not fun for God. Like, you could see how, that's why, like, to try to understand judgment, you need to understand God's wrath. Just because he didn't send legions of angels at that time and destroy the world, that doesn't mean that there was no wrath. There's grace and mercy waiting for people to repent. Entonces, no hay que confundirnos aquí en el verso 4 cuando dice, esto habla de la descripción de cómo el poder de Dios es tan grande, que es ridículo lo que hacen estos contra Dios. No debemos de dejar de pensar de nuestro Señor Jesús sufrió. Imagínense la ira de Dios, o sea, Dios viendo todo esto, a su hijo siendo crucificado, cuando, y el poder de mandar legiones de ángeles para poder destruir el mundo, él no lo hace. Pero eso es por su gracia, porque él espera que la gente se arrepienta, que la gente se arrepienta, y está haciendo ese sacrificio por ellos. El siguiente verso, verso 5. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury. And then he talks about Jesus. Entonces, él va a hablar en su ira ellos van a estar terrificados por la furia de él. Y después en los siguientes versos describe a Jesús. You can see the end of this Psalm 2. Somebody read 10 through 12. Alguien vea por favor el final de este Salmo 2, del verso 10 al 12. Por favor.
Ahora pues, oh reyes, mostrad discernimiento, recibid amonestación, oh jueces de la tierra. Adorad al Señor con reverencia y alegraos con temblor. Honrad al Hijo para que no se enoje y perezcáis en el camino, pues puede inflamarse de repente su ira. Cuán bienaventurados son todos los que en él se refugian.
Amén. Definitely, we need to come broken and repent in front of God. We need to serve Him, fear Him, kiss the Son, honor the Son. Debemos de servir a Dios, debemos de alabarle, adorarle, venir quebrantados a su presencia, a empezar al Hijo, amar al Hijo, honrar al Hijo. So, Hebrews 4 starts the first verse, fear God. End the chapter, we can approach that throne of grace with confidence, because the high priest is sitting on the right side of the Father. Jesus is sitting on the right side of the Father. Hebreos 4 nos dice el primer verso, hay que tener temor. Y termina, podemos acercarnos al trono de gracia. ¿Por qué? Porque está nuestro sumo sacerdote sentado a la diestra del Padre. Now, you guys may say, Elias, you're making all this up. Psalm 2 is not about Jesus. Ustedes podrán decir, Elias, estás inventando todo esto. El Salmo 2 no es sobre Jesús. Ok, let's go to Acts chapter 4. Entonces, vamos a Hechos 4. And we're not going to go to the beginning part, we're going to go to the middle part. No vamos a empezar ahí al inicio, vamos a ir a la parte de medio ahí de Hechos 4, y en donde aquí Pedro habla del Salmo 2. Where here Peter talks about Psalm 2, and we see something where they are putting in jail Peter and John. We see Peter and John in this chapter 4, that they are threatened, but then they're released. Podemos ver que son amenazados, pero son puestos en libertad, Pedro y Juan. But and then verse 23 talks about whenever they go and talk to their companions when they are being released. El verso 23 nos dice que le van y le cuentan a sus compañeros cuando son ellos liberados. But I want us to read verse 24 through verse 29. Vamos a leer del verso 24 hasta el 29 del capítulo 4.
And when they had heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, Why do the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against a holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness.
Is Peter now speaking with boldness? ¿Está acaso Pedro hablando con confianza? So talk to me about this beautiful psalm and this beautiful section that Peter uses in his in Acts 4. Entonces, háblenme por favor de esta sección que utiliza Pedro aquí en Hechos 4. I love how a lot of the times Peter, well, you can see Peter's humility when he is not trying to use his own words, but he finds words in the scripture, like he found some bones to describe what he's understanding. Me encanta mucho aquí Pedro, veo la humildad de Pedro, donde él no trata de utilizar sus palabras a veces para explicar cosas que están en su mente, sino que se va y encuentra unos salmos y lee y utiliza esos salmos para que sea la escritura quien explica lo que está pasando. So then he let the scriptures explain what's happening. What else do you guys see? Anything that is important for you, that is interesting for you? Algo que es importante o interesante para ustedes? Somebody read verse 30 and 31. Alguien, por favor, lea el verso 30 y 31.
Mientras extendías tu mano para que se hagan cristianos, curaciones, señales y prodigios mediante el nombre de tu santo siervo Jesús. Después que oraron, el lugar donde estaban reunidos tembló, y todos fueron llenos del Espíritu Santo y hablaban la palabra de Dios con valor. 32?
No, that's fine. So, what happened there after that beautiful message of Peter? ¿Qué pasa ahí después de ese mensaje hermoso de Pedro?
El lugar tembló. Mm-hmm. The place shook. It almost kind of sounds like a little earthquake or something.
So what is Peter talking about here, and what is the response of God in regards to what he's talking about? ¿De qué está hablando Padre Pedro aquí? ¿Y qué es la respuesta de Dios sobre lo que está hablando? The response is clear. An earthquake and then something miraculous. La respuesta es clara. Un terremoto y algo milagroso.
Pero llenos del Espíritu Santo. Parece como una respuesta de Dios. It almost sounds like a response from God with the trembling and then being filled with the Holy Spirit. Sounds like a response to Peter's prayer.
Yeah. So I think not only Peter agrees that Psalm 2 was talking about Jesus, I think God agreed that definitely Psalm 2 was talking about Jesus. No solamente Pedro está de acuerdo que el Salmo 2 habla de Jesús. Dios estuvo de acuerdo en su respuesta con ese terremoto, hablando de esto que pasó aquí. So let's go to the beginning of chapter 4. Vamos al inicio del capítulo 4. And we see here verse 3. They were arrested, right? They were put into custody until the next day. Son arrestados ahí, puestos en custodia. So you don't see here at Peter who is struggling, shaking, oh, don't arrest me, I don't know Jesus. No, you see a different Peter. I'm going to be arrested, they're going to kill me, let it be. Vemos un Pedro diferente, no dice, no, no, yo no conozco a Jesús ni nada. No, lo van a arrestar o lo van a matar, él no tiene problemas con eso. So many of those who heard the word, verse 4, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Y muchos de los que escucharon ahí creyeron, y el número era como de 5,000 hombres solamente. Just beautiful. This chapter 3 message, and then you see the responses to that message. Es hermoso ese capítulo 3, ese mensaje y la respuesta. And then they will inquire, they were in jail and they were inquiring them, hey, by what name do you do this? Entonces los pusieron en la cárcel y le dice, pero ¿por qué nombras en esto? So somebody read, please, verse 8 through 13. Lean, por favor, el 8 al 13.
Entonces Pedro, lleno del Espíritu Santo, les dijo, gobernantes y ancianos del pueblo, si se no está interrogando hoy por causa del beneficio hecho a un hombre enfermo, ¿de qué manera este ha sido sanado? Sabed todos vosotros y todo el pueblo de Israel, que en el nombre de Jesucristo Nazareno, a quien vosotros crucificasteis y a quien Dios resucitó de entre los muertos, por él este hombre se halla aquí sano delante de vosotros. Hasta luego, Juan.
It's good through there. We're gonna go next class talking about the cornerstone, Jesus being the cornerstone. Vamos a ver en la siguiente clase a Jesús siendo la piedra angular. But some of the key things here, verse 16, how the notable sign that had been performed there that they could not deny it. So they were like, well, let's just warn them that what verse 17 says. En donde podemos ver el verso 16, una señal notable había sido ahí en Jerusalén que no podía negar. Entonces dice, pues nada más vamos a advertirles, dice en el verso 17. Me encanta. Entonces les dice en el verso 18, entonces no hablen sobre Jesús, pero me encanta a mí el verso 19. Pedro y Juan, la respuesta de ellos. So, and then verse 18, where they say, well, let's charge them not to speak, right? But then verse 19, I just love the response on verse 19. Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. We cannot speak of what we have. We cannot but speak of what we have heard and seen. Ellos no podían callar lo que habían visto y oído. Ellos tenían que decirlo. Ellos tienen que hacer la voluntad de Dios, el Padre. Ellos tenían que reportar todo esto. Entonces es muy muy bello todo eso, cómo son puestos en prisión, son libertados, y después de ser libertados es cuando da esa explicación Pedro sobre el Salmo 2. So it's beautiful how they were put into jail, but they were freed, but they were convinced, we're going to speak, regardless if you tell us not to, we're going to speak what we have seen and heard. And then after that, when they are freed, when they go and gather with this smaller group, that's when Peter does that beautiful explanation of Psalm 2. Any comments or questions? ¿Algún comentario o pregunta hasta aquí?
In the class.
No? Thank you. Muchas gracias.